Get ready. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. Paul is still out. He's dealing with moving, something I just dealt with. So, you know how it goes. You've moved before, I imagine. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 197 of the Weekly Cooldown, and it is August 25th. Let's dive straight into the headlines because I've got an amazing, very cool guest, and lots to talk about. So, without further ado, Jeff Keighley, host of the summer games show Gamescom and the Game Awards, has announced the next date for the Game Awards at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles. This will be the 10th anniversary of the Game Awards. Thursday, December 7th is the next date for the show. Keighley said in a tweet that more information will be coming about tickets and likely voting and nominations this fall. We recently got a look at a new Pokemon coming to Pokemon Scarlet and Violet in the game's first expansion, The Hidden Treasure of Area Zero, Part 1, The Teal Mask. The new Pokemon is another T-based Pokemon, much like Galarregion's Sinistea. This time, Poltergeist, the matcha Pokemon, will be coming to the game. Although it resembles Sinistea, Poltergeist is said to be an entirely different Pokemon. The Hidden Treasure of Area Zero Part 1, The Teal Mask, will launch September 13th, with Part 2, The Indigo Disc, coming this winter. And finally, Charles Martinet, the decades-long voice of Mario, is stepping down from the role. Martinet has been the voice of Mario since 1996 and is most quoted thanks to Super Mario 64. The news came directly from Nintendo, stating that Martinet will be moving into a brand new role of Mario Ambassador. A video from Martinet and Shigeru Miyamoto with more information about the decision will appear in a future date. And those are just a few of the headlines from this week. There's a lot going on game-wise, including the release of Armored Core 6, which I cannot play because I have too many games to play. But if you have any other video game topics, video game news, anything like that you want to talk about, remember that you can always find me on Twitter, not X, at Kami Jace Gaming or at WK Cooldown or on Blue Sky at Kami Jace Gaming as well. I guess you could DM me on Instagram. It might be a little weird, but you know, we're struggling to find a place to social media these days. Speaking of social media, not a good segue. Please welcome my guest, a incredible games journalist by the name of Ty.
Hello, how's it going?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Just, you know, chilling, getting ready for it to be the weekend.
Thank goodness. Could not come faster. Ty, tell the people about you. What do you do out there in the world?
So I am the deputy editor over at Gaming, and that's Gaming
G-A-Y
magazine. Where we, as you might guess, cover queer topics surrounding games and pop culture. And then I'm also the editor-in-chief of Uppercut, which is my own little independent site that does crit and podcasts and other just like kind of varying between serious and silly coverage of games. And then I'm also a freelance games journalist slash media person. So I kind of write all over the place. And yeah.
Yes, may have seen Ty's bylines everywhere. Dot Esports, Game Informer, elsewhere, including Gaming Magazine, as previously mentioned. So tell us, for those who don't know, tell us a little bit more about Uppercut Crit. What's going on over there?
So it started out as just like a little blog that I was doing in my free time back in like 2017, and I was kind of focusing on queer stuff in games because there wasn't really that much coverage on it. And then I made some like Twitter friends basically, and we ended up deciding that we wanted to kind of collaborate, and so they came to work with me on the website too, and we rebranded it to Uppercut to be more of like an outlet. And so now it's, yeah, it's kind of like a little tiny outlet. We do freelance pitches every month now. We had a little break over the summer, but we're getting back into it. And we post just, crit pieces, reviews sometimes, listicles. It just kind of depends, but yeah.
Very cool, very cool. And tell us, because there's quite a queer audience that listens to this show, for those who don't know, tell us about Gaming Mag.
Yeah, it's pretty much like what is on the label. Myself and Amy, the editor-in-chief, work to cover queer stuff in games and pop culture, be it like games with queer themes or games from queer developers. I recently did an interview with Bitch Puddin, who's the season 2 Dragula winner.
That's so cool.
Because she just did a like 4-episode miniseries on YouTube with FlyQuest. And it's like a combination of like fighting games / esports and just like video games in general and drag. And it also has like a little narrative B plot that comes to a head in the end. It's very good. So that's, yeah, kind of stuff I do. I mostly focus on our like esports stuff, and then just, you know, like kind of generalizing whatever we need help with. But yeah, so if you like gay stuff and esports and games, that's where to go.
Is that like your favorite thing to cover is esports?
It's definitely up there. It's also like part of what I was specifically hired for, because I like had that esports experience, and my powers that be wanted more queer esports coverage. So yeah,
very cool. What if you had to like, what are some of your favorite things to cover? Like for me, my background in journalism at least is in investigative journalism, so I really enjoy kind of digging into the weeds about like, you know, like scandals, big things happening at studios that are like, you know, maybe not a big deal on the surface for people who play video games, but a major deal for like developers and, you know, folks who really care about how the sausage is made. So like, what is your kind of meat and potatoes, your bread and butter?
I would say mine is probably critical work. Like, I think that's probably what has gotten me the most, like, attention, I guess. And, like, probably what I've built most of my career on. Like, I had for a while, like, a little column over at VG247 where I was, like, writing critically about, like, games that were coming out every month. So yeah, I would say that's probably like been my main thing. I also really enjoy doing like interview features where like you get to kind of, you know, like tell somebody's story through that interview. So yeah, those are probably my two main things, my two main like tricks, I guess.
Tricks. Very cool. Very cool. And so none can escape this next question. We must know, what have you been playing this week?
Baldur's Gate. I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 on account of everybody is, and everybody. Also,
yes, correct.
Also, it is literally my job to play it. Like, I'm currently farther in it than Amy, my boss, is. Wow. So I have to update as much of our like romance guides and stuff as I can. So I'm out here like trying to bang as many of these companions as I can without like getting dumped by the other ones.
It's very fun that it's like your job to bang them. Like, everyone else is out here like, can I do it? And you're like, don't worry, I've got the details. I'll let you know exactly how. I'm like,
it's not about can I, it's about I must.
I will bang them so that you know how to bang them.
Listen, that's what it's like to be writing guides and stuff out here in these streets. is you're figuring out either weird quest stuff or how to bang people.
Exactly, exactly. That's fantastic. Larian, look what you've done. We're writing about how to have sex with your damn protagonists.
They love it.
They're having so much fun with it. I have so many games I'm playing all at once. I'm still trying to finish Tears of the Kingdom while I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3, which is taking up most of my time. And I've also begun the third chapter, I hope, of Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, which is amazing.
Bomb Rush Cyberpunk like totally snuck up on me. Like, I knew it was coming out this year, but I don't know why in my head I thought it was like October later. Or November. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I just like saw things on Twitter that like it was a few days out, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And I have not had time to play it because I'm like, I just finished Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood. I play Valorant because I'm a monster. what was the other thing that I was playing? I need to play Venba still because I have it. I just need to actually like sit down and play it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a million billion things.
They all came out kind of at once too, right? Like,
yeah,
as of this recording, Armored Core just released like a few hours ago, and I want to play that so bad.
See, I thank God, because I really don't care about Armored Core at this point.
Good for you.
That might change. I didn't care about Tears of the Kingdom, and I played almost all the way through it, and I also didn't care about Elden Ring and then finished it. So we'll see, but as of right now, I currently don't care about it.
Yeah. It's I'm trying to care less about it, but it's not working. I've never played an Armored Core game before, but I was one of those kids in like first or second grade who was like, oh man, that game looks really cool, and I pretended like I had it. I would read guidebooks and gaming magazines and follow along, and I've always wanted to play one, but I've never grabbed one, and now 6 is out and it's in front of me, and it's like, I'm almost there.
And it's like an accessible, like modern one. Yeah,
I'm nearly there. It's right in front of me. All I need to do is click the buy button, and it's mine. I hope my computer can run it, because I don't want to play it on my PS5. I want to play it on my computer, but I'm just waiting, biding my time at this point.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate has made me realize I need to upgrade my video card, because it is chugging.
Struggling.
Yeah, it is chugging at times, and I am like, oh.
I tried to install an SSD so that I could put that on. Or I could put Baldur's Gate on that, and the SSD did not work. So I am stuck with slow load times. It's fine. I'll get over it. Well done. We are all, Baldur's Gate 3 has us by the throat. It's nice to know it is no different for you. We are all just captivated by Larian's beautiful diamond of a video game.
Yeah, I literally like finally did the last of my like quests in the third act, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go do this final thing to start like the end of the act, and then the game was like, huh, you thought.
Here's more things for you.
And I was like, fuck, okay.
Yep. I'm still on act 2 because I keep finding new things to do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, actually, I'm going to go do this first, and then I'll go to the thing.
Yeah, my current save is like 70-some hours, but I think with like counting for how much save scumming I've done, it has to be closer to like 90.
Yeah. I logged 80 hours in the early access alone before the game actually came out, and so I think Steam now has me as having played this game for 150 hours, and I'm like, cool. that doesn't feel right at all, but okay, sure. I don't even know if I have ever had 150 hours to do anything, but sure, I believe it at this point. Sure. What did you pick for your class and race combination?
So I am playing a dragonborn warlock.
Ooh.
And I multi-classed as a bard as well. And then he always wears a cowboy hat.
Very good. Perfect. I know that kind of character combination appeals to, I know, at least three people in my personal circle who will very much enjoy that. So I'm going to make sure that they hear about Dragonborn Warlock Bard who was named.
I just did like the general, like whatever the default one is. So his name is just Tav.
Tav. It's perfect.
Yeah, he's a bisexual slutty dragonborn warlock bard.
Amazing.
Who wears a cowboy hat and has a lute, and he just fucking he's going.
He's zipping. Fantastic.
He only has one eye because of reasons.
Yeah, who knows what those reasons are? Tav knows. And he'll tell
because of Act One quest reasons. Ooh. He's missing an eyeball.
Yikes. Oh, okay. Spoiler. Very good. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we are going to get into the gaming news of this week, which includes Overwatch 2 things, BioWare things, and Gamescom things. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
Hey Tim, do you like horror movies?
Why, yes I do, Matt.
You want to hear two ridiculous horror fanatics discuss all the scary movies that just came out?
Wait, you must be talking about our podcast, Happy Horror Time.
You bet your ass I am.
Oh, clean it up, Matt.
No, see, that's the best part. On Happy Horror Time, you get uncensored and unpolished reviews of all things horror. We find all the latest releases, we watch them, and then discuss them in our real talk kind of style.
AKA, we're crazy!
That too.
And don't forget, we also interview classic horror stars and insiders, asking them all the questions you've always wanted to know, but were afraid to ask.
Like when Phyllisa Rose from Sleepaway Camp told us how they found her stand-in for that big reveal at the end.
Yep, you gotta listen to find out.
Check out Happy Horror Time, a podcast for horror lovers.
Or anyone who just wants to have a good time.
Because anyone can have a happy horror time.
Before you click the share button, get the facts from a comedy podcast for information enthusiasts. On Don't Wreck Yourself, Matt and Ryan look into claims they find online, answer your questions, and say bad words.
Keep in mind our target audience, so if you're driving by a middle school and you see a bunch of kids outside, look for the ones smoking cigarettes under the bleachers and tell them about our podcast.
New episodes go up every Tuesday wherever you find podcasts. Be sure to check yourself. Don't wreck yourself.
Hello. Welcome back to the show. So, like I said, gaming news, it is time for it. Let's jump right in with Overwatch 2. Overwatch 2, as we reported last week, debuted on Steam last week and was a hit with a ton of negative user reviews. As of this recording, it is still one of the lowest scoring games on Steam. In a blog post, Overwatch 2 game director Aaron Keller said, "Although being review bombed isn't a fun experience, it's been great to see lots of players jump into Overwatch 2 for the first time." Many of the reviews, as acknowledged by Keller, referenced the cancellation of the PvE content announced in 2019. So we briefly kind of spoke about this story last week, specifically that, like Aaron Keller said, it seems like a lot of people are taking the chance to review bomb it based off of the fact that the PvE content is lackluster, or at least it didn't deliver on what it promised in 2019, and that the free-to-play aspect of it is basically not what they want out of an Overwatch game at this point.
Yeah, I honestly have not fucked with Overwatch in a long time. But
that's a That's a cool move. That's a good move, actually.
Yeah, I think I haven't played Overwatch since like a little bit after they introduced the hamster in the first one. Mm. I don't know. It just seems like they can't help but fumble the bag. Like, as if their, like, studio condition stuff was not bad enough, they're also just, like, doing a bad job with this game.
Yeah. It really strikes me how, like, the hits on coming and they keep on coming with Overwatch, especially Overwatch 2 now. Letting go of the original director, whose name I cannot remember, Jeff Kaplan, I believe. I think was a bad move. He seemed to really care about the direction of the game, whereas Aaron Keller seems to be kind of like, la la la, I can't hear you about the game, where these decisions to kind of roll it out quickly and like as unfinished as possible seems to be going on. The decision to make it free to play with these kind of battle pass things instead of making it, you know, pay to play with the option of loot boxes like Overwatch has been traditionally. It seems like a shift for money, not for love of the game. And, you know, Kaplan seemed at least to care about what was going on with Overwatch.
Yeah, I mean, I have my thoughts and feelings about Mr. Kaplan.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. It just seems like a mess.
Yeah. No, I agree. I hope they get it together. I know plenty of people who still play Overwatch and still enjoy it to some degree, but don't really care much for how it's being handled, right? How it's being rolled out, the way that the developers are being kind of worked into a corner, having to answer for why the game so bad, you know, where it's not really their fault. It's kind of the fault of people leading the charge, so to speak.
Yeah, like this is not like a me being like, oh, the devs are bad. This is like, no, like clearly the people who are managing Overwatch as a project are making like weird bad decisions for it as a project.
Yeah, right. It feels a little strange. Especially, there's a part in this I didn't put in the recap. But Keller also says, if we can't turn back the clock, then what can we do? We can keep adding and improving Overwatch 2 and continually create and innovate on what is making the game great now for the players who are playing now. And I feel like that's such a like weird cop-out answer, you know, kind of saying like, sorry, too late, can't add what we wanted to add before. When that doesn't seem true, you can still kind of retroactively, I guess, add those aspects of your PvE system.
Well, especially because like they've done PvE modes for free before.
Right.
So like, I feel like it's very hard to swallow the idea that you couldn't do it.
Right. Especially in the scale that you originally were planning anyway. It seems to me that it's, you wanted to roll something out fast, not well, I guess. And what we get is a very watered down version of your original 2019 plan. That, I don't know, it just doesn't feel good. Watching Overwatch 2, which had such staying power for so many years, kind of go down the funnel.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally am not invested in Overwatch anymore, but I do feel bad for the people who like were excited about, you know, the PvE stuff and are, you know, feeling kind of either disappointed or burned or whatever.
Yeah. There's even some issues going on with the esports league, from what I remember reading a couple of weeks ago, I believe.
Oh, yeah. The esports league is basically, like, they're trying to make it not exist anymore. They're basically, like, trying to buy out the owners to get them to, like, not play anymore.
Oh, boy. Messy. Messy, messy, messy. Overwatch, please figure it out. Please make it so that your players actually like your game, and I don't have to talk about how I can never go back to playing your cool Blizzard game anymore. Cool Blizzard. That's a pun. So, our next story is about another studio, BioWare. In a recent blog post, studio manager at BioWare, Gary McKay, said that BioWare is making the decision to lay off about 50 employees. The blog post said that the decision is being made to preserve the health of the studio and better enable us to do what we do best, create exceptional story-driven single-player experiences filled with vast worlds and rich characters. McKay said that BioWare will do their best to help laid-off employees find other work at other Electronic Arts studios. I'm so sick of hearing about layoffs. I think the issue I have with Mr. McKay's statement in his blog post is that I don't understand how laying off employees helps you achieve a higher standard of quality. It seems like other people will have to pick up the slack and therefore will be overworked.
I mean, it's also like really weird that he's emphasizing how the quality is not going to be changed when one of the people who got laid off was Mary Kirby, who's been like part of the writing team since Dragon Age Origins.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're going to sit here and tell me that Dragon Age Dreadwolf is just going to be fine?
Without, like, one of the most influential writers of its entire history.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like, I don't... Sure, Jan.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly how I feel. He also says, in order to meet the needs of our upcoming projects, continue to hold ourselves to the highest standards of quality and ensure BioWare can continue to thrive in an industry that's rapidly evolving, we must shift towards a more agile and more focused studio. It will allow our developers to iterate quickly, unlock more creativity, and form a clear vision of what we're building before development ramps up. And again, I cannot see how any of that is true with less employees. Like, I cannot imagine a world where taking on the responsibilities of one of the most influential writers of the series is helping creativity alongside all the other writing focused things this person will likely have to do. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Make it make sense. The math isn't mathing.
Yeah, no, it's just like, it's clearly trying to, like, you know, not have the bad PR around layoffs, but like, you're laying people off.
Right. There's a lot of buzzwords in the post, right? Unlock creativity and clear vision and agile focused studio. Like, it's very PR team wrote that. Someone, like, I don't think he wrote this. Some PR person wrote this and then maybe got laid off, I imagine. That's usually how these things work. Dragon Age Dreadwolf currently doesn't have a release date. Last we knew about it was supposed to be out maybe 2024, early spring 2024. But there's been not only layoffs now, but also a bunch of producers and directors who have left BioWare in the last couple of years since we've learned about Dreadwolf. I don't know how 50 employees, like, usually with these kind of employee or these kind of layoffs where they're trying to save money. It's more than 50. It's like a cool 100. I don't know how many employees BioWare has, but 50 seems almost insignificant for what he's saying in this blog post, right? Like, 50 feels like you could have kept them on and maybe some people at the top take a pay cut and everything ends up much better, right? Like, it feels petty.
Yeah, it all just truly feels like how to, like, do, I don't know, like, I guess the least amount of, like, bad press.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's simply laying people off, and it's just weird that they went for, like, people who have been there for so long.
Yeah. There's something, like, it smells fishy. Something smells fishy about it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird.
Mr. McKay, you've got some explaining to do. I hope someone really digs into the weeds on this. I would love to know, like, how much they're projected to save and with these layoffs. And, you know, when Dreadwolf is supposed to be out now that they've done the layoffs and so on. Because again, the math just isn't mathing. But that's BioWare, and that's Mr. Gary McKay. We'll move on now to Gamescom. Gamescom is an incredibly large gaming event held in Cologne, Germany every year. We got a look at some great games coming, in the next, year or two. Crimson Desert, Black Myth Wukong, Alan Wake 2, Killing Floor 3, Little Nightmares 3, Nightingale, which I'm so excited for, Mortal Kombat 1, and so much more. We also got another stage crasher, just like during the Game Awards in December of last year. A new stage crasher is following in his footsteps. This one got up on stage to interrupt Jeff Kelly, stating that Bill Clinton wants to play GTA 6. Show security was able to move them off stage. Kelly said during the interaction that he was disappointed to see someone act this way, and, quote, "It's just so sad to me to see something like that happen on a night when we're here to celebrate games and this community and how much they mean to us." Ty, first thoughts.
I just feel like this man needs to get better control over who's getting on the stage.
Something like that.
Like, it's a really weird form of whatever this is, right? Like, this weird, like, dog whistly shit or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, Mr. Keeley, like, perhaps have your security people be closer to the stage.
Yeah. Or, I mean, that is actually a good point. They said in the article that I pulled this from off PC Gamer that the show staff was amongst the audience members, but was nowhere near the front. So maybe we vet, first of all, maybe we put staff up front, and also maybe we vet who's sitting up front. Maybe we know exactly also, like, who's up there.
Don't, like, have those gates that they put up at, like, concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It might look a little tacky, but it's for your own safety, too. I mean,
at this point, it's happened twice.
Yeah, it could have also been a little bit more dangerous. you know, this person just wanted to get up there and troll. But, like, if he had wanted to hurt Jeff Keighley, he got very close to him.
Yeah.
Almost got the mic out of his hand. Like, this could have been worse. But thank goodness it wasn't. But, you know. Gotta think things through here, I guess. Are you excited for any of the Gamescom's announcements? Any of the games coming?
I'm not, like, super jazzed on any of it. Like, Nightingale, I'm interested in, but I'm still kind of waiting to see what it's actually gonna be like when it's out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm excited for Mortal Kombat, but I also have like terminal poser syndrome when it comes to fighting games, where like I enjoy them and I like playing them like a little bit, but then like there's so much to them that I'm like, oh man.
A terminal poser syndrome, I think, is how I would describe myself too. I love fighting games so much, and I can get to a point where I feel decent, but I'm never at a point where I'm like competing. Yeah. I'm always like well below competing level and somewhere in between, like I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm gonna button mash, and I kind of know what I'm doing, but I'm still gonna button mash.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel. I can never like, when my brain is asked to like retain those combos and actually use them, it just goes
pfft. yeah I can't do it. I can't, my brain just doesn't click, at least in the moment. Like I feel like I can do it in training modes. I can do like the missions and the combo training, but like having to sit down and actually play against someone, I'm like, never mind, I don't need this. Who needs this? People who want to win money, I guess. Not me. Not me. I'm really excited for Alan Wake 2. I am a big Remedy fanboy, and I'm excited to see how they tie this in with Control, how it ties back into Alan Wake the first. And given the kind of Sam Lake type things that they're doing, I want to see if they maybe do something with Max Payne. I don't know that they will, because there's a whole thing with Rockstar there that's kind of muddy. But I'm excited to see what goes on. What's happening over in Alan Wake 2 land?
Yeah, I want to get to Alan Wake. I have not played the first one. It seems like it would be up my alley, but I have not gotten to it.
I recommend Alan Wake. What's the other one?
Quantum Break.
Yeah, that one's so crazy. Like in a weird, they tried to make it a TV show kind of way. Yeah,
like it has TV shows in it.
It is so strange, but it is a very, still very good game. Very Remedy. And then Control is like peak Remedy, absolute top tier video game.
Yeah, I did start Control, but I didn't get super far in it. I so was not it. Very good at the combat.
Oh, that's fair. The combat is, you have to, like, there's a lot to it. There's shooting, there's psychic powers, all kind of stuff. But it is well worth the trip. I will never recommend Control more than I do right now, except maybe I will. I freaking love that game. Any other exciting game? Do you think we will see GTA 6? I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'm kind of over it at this point.
I feel like Rockstar has absolutely no reason to do it with the way that like GTA Online is currently going. So I don't know. Rockstar also just like enjoys vanity projects. So who knows? But
that's true. That's very true.
Like I feel like obviously GTA 6 would sell huge, right? But like, I don't think there's the expectation for it like there used to be.
No, I agree. Especially like you said, I don't really think about GTA Online beyond like the GTA 5 role players. I think they're fantastic, but I don't know that. Like GTA 6 is necessary at this point. I guess when or if it comes out, it'll just replace the status quo, right? Because they'll have to keep GTA Online going in some capacity.
Yeah.
And then that'll be, you know, they'll re-release it on every console and for every generation of PC that comes out.
Yeah, I guess in theory it would be like a Destiny 2 kind of situation.
Sure, but like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I feel like they're fine. And I feel like a lot of the people who, like, play GTA Online are, like, very happy with that ecosystem. So, I don't know.
I do like the idea that Rockstar is fine. They don't need GTA 6 to come out. They're fine.
They're fine. Yeah, I mean, between like Red Dead 2 and...
Oh, yeah.
And just and
that,
like the ongoing...
That also has an online mode that is still ongoing.
Yeah, like they're fine.
They are fine. You're right. Who needs GTA 6? The casual GTA enjoyer, maybe, but, you know, who cares about them? When you've got GTA Online. So, for our final segment for this episode, it is This Week in Gaming History, taking some cool things that happened this week in gaming history and, you know, just shooting the shit about them a little. August 20th, we got Armored Core 2, Another Age for the PS2 in 2001, so it is now 22 years old. And Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Blacklist from 2013 is now 10 years old. I loved Splinter Cell Blacklist. I like Splinter Cell games a lot. I think they're really fun.
I've never played one.
They're very... It's, you know, Ubisoft is known for, like, one thing, and it's Assassin's Creed, but before Assassin's Creed, it was Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, and it has the same feel, though. Like, every time they reintroduce it, they try to do something new, but it's the same game. It's the exact same game. And like I said, I've never played an Armored Core game, but here we are 22 years later, and I will get my hands on Armored Core 6. You better believe it. At some point. Eventually. Yeah. August 21st, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six in 1998, that is now 25 years old, and Bioshock in 2007, famed Bioshock, 16 years ago now. 16 years, oh my god.
Jesus.
Feels like yesterday. August 22nd, Chrono Trigger, 1995, 28 years, that I can't believe, that feels right, 28 years ago. Happy birthday, Chrono Trigger, almost 30. And Nintendogs in 2005, 18 years ago now. Do you remember when Nintendogs came out? Were you a Nintendog haver?
I did not have Nintendogs, but I do remember like the commercials.
I remember it kind of, I think Beyonce was playing it in one commercial. I remember
what Beyonce song did they have for Nintendogs?
Oh, I don't know. I think she was just playing the game and she was like tapping the screen with her stylus. And just looked like she was having a good time, and I hope she was. I hope you enjoyed Nintendogs, Beyonce. It's just very important to me that you did. August 23rd, Mafia 2 comes out, 2010. Mafia 1, critically unacclaimed. but Mafia 2, pretty good. Deus Ex Human Revolution in 2011, 12 years ago, and Mankind Divided comes out 5 years later in 2016, now 7 years ago. That also does... Hang on. 2016 was 7 years ago.
It is 2023.
Woof. That one woke me up a little bit. Okay. I think I understand time now. Man, Mankind Divided came out during... one of the most tumultuous presidential elections in our country's history. Really foreshadowed the future, didn't you, Deus Ex, with that title. August 24th, Command & Conquer, Tiberian Sun, 1999. Did you play this? I've never played a Command & Conquer game.
I've never played one either.
Okay. Ain't nothing to say. If you're a Command & Conquer fan, hit me up. I want to know about this. I've never liked RTS games, and I know that's what Command & Conquer is, but sometimes they sneak up on me and they're okay. So if you are an RTS fan or a Command & Conquer fan, I would love to hear from you. This one I played though, August 25th, GoldenEye 007, 1997 for the Nintendo 64, 26 years ago now. I love that game so much. I think about it constantly. It is
that's
my
another
favorite.
One I never played because I never really? Had an N64.
Oh, man. That's one of those games where you definitely enjoyed the single player, but the real fun was doing couch co-op, split screen, multiplayer. with like your friend from school or your brother's friend from school and also your brother, and you all yelled at each other while you drank very sugary sodas. It's just one of those very, very, it's strangely cozy, right, for me in my memory, GoldenEye 007, a violent game about a British spy. Dissidia also comes out August 25th, 2009, now 14 years ago. That I've never played either. But I know some folks like the Final Fantasy fighters, so you Dissidia heads out there, congratulations, 14 years. Fantastic. And finally, August 26th, Super Mario Sunshine, which I've only just played recently.
Same. I played it like during the pandemic.
Yeah, 2002. 21 years ago now. I played it when the Super Mario HD collection came out. That was my first time playing Super Mario Sunshine, which I describe as like someone's fan game ROM hack. It doesn't feel like a Super Mario game to me. It feels like
I'm not like familiar enough with the Super Marios. I like played that. I've played the platformy ones, but not as much the like 3D platformy ones. Mm. But I like the little guys, the little locals on the island. I think they're cute.
Yeah. The locals on the island. I think everything else about it is weird, though.
They're cute.
Like, why is everything nasty and covered in grime? Why do I have to clean it? And why does everything sound weird? the soundboard for that game is freaking weird. It's so strange. But 21 years ago, if that doesn't make you feel old, maybe Chrono Trigger 28 years ago does. All right. So as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
I would say probably the Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood. It's the new game from Deconstruct Team, who made the Red Strings Club a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's like this really gorgeous pixel art game where you play as a witch who is living in exile on a comet, and you partner up with basically like a demon to make a new divination deck, and then you use it to like divine the future for different characters, and it all kind of leads into like a question of like the political future of your coven. And it's really good.
I know so many people who would like that. That sounds fantastic. What is the name of this again?
The Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood.
The Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood.
And I believe it is on Steam and Switch.
Very good. Yeah, check that one out. That sounds amazing. I'm going to recommend the three games that I am still playing. Not Tears of the Kingdom. I'm actually still playing Boss Game 2. I've just remembered Boss Game when you came on and I was like, oh crap, I gotta finish that. Boss Game is so cute. I love Boss Game. I think it is a fantastically well done game. The combat makes my brain itch a little, but in a good way. And then of course Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. Especially if you love Jet Set Radio. If you love kind of lo-fi beats to play games too, that game is full of them. Just jump right into it. And Baldur's Gate 3, go seduce Scarlock. It's great. She's the best. All the gays and the straights love her. She's the best.
Scarlock is one that I didn't seduce, but it's funny because like there's a point in the third act where you can like talk to someone who knew her before all of her backstory stuff, and they'll like be like, oh, are you two dating? And she's, and for me she was like, ew, gross, we're just friends. That's best so funny. Friends. And I was like, yeah, we are.
She's so precious. Love her so much. Yes, go check out all of those games. And finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
You can find me on X and Instagram and Blue Sky at Awothkeeper. And best you can name. find And you can find me on all of those same things, Uppercut Crit or just Uppercut on Blue Sky. And yeah, that's uppercutcrit.com or .gay, whichever. Yeah.
Very good, very good, very good. All right. As always, you can find me at Comic Jace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Don't do that. No one goes there. I certainly don't go there. Don't go there. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Remember, it helps the algorithm. It helps the show. It helps me. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember that you can support your favorite charities and support your favorite show, this show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Corgian on Twitter at DoghouseCorgian, DoghouseCorgian. And our intro music, is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at Dog_Noise, DoghNoise. DoghNoise. I think I said that right the first time, but I'm not sure. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace.
And I'm Ty.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.